Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive with us.
Always exciting to jump into a new one.
You know, this one today really got me thinking. Yeah, it's about this blog post and well, kind of tackles these big questions, you know, like mortality and what we leave
A
behind.
legacy.
Yeah, exactly, legacy and what it even means to live a good life, you know. And the author kind of explores all this through like his own personal experience.
I think a lot of people can relate to that, looking for those answers in their own lives.
Totally. And in this case, it was through like losing someone he really admired.
Someone close to him.
Yeah, his best friend's dad, actually.
Oh, wow.
And it makes you think about like what makes someone a role model, you know? What makes their life something that makes you stop and really reflect?
That's a good question. We often think of like, those big famous people, right?
The larger than life figures, yeah.
But what's interesting here is that the role model is just like an ordinary guy.
Just a dad.
Yeah. And yet the author, like, he paints such a vivid picture of
He
him.
does, doesn't he?
Hardworking, always positive, supportive, even when admitting his own, shortcomings.
He wasn't perfect.
Not at all. But he obviously made a huge impact on the people around him. So what stands out to you about that description?
I think what gets me is that it wasn't about like huge achievements or anything like
It
that.
was the everyday stuff.
Exactly. It was the everyday ways he was there for his friends and family. He wasn't afraid to be vulnerable. You know, to admit he messed up.
And that made it more relatable.
I think so. It makes you wonder if we like put too much pressure on ourselves to be perfect.
And miss out on those genuine connections.
Yeah, exactly.
That's such a good point.
Yeah.
I think we often think strength has to look perfect.
Like you've got it all together.
Right. But maybe real strength is being able to say, hey, I don't have all the answers.
Being okay with being vulnerable.
And letting people see that.
Yeah.
That seems to be something the author is wrestling with, too.
You see that in the blog post.
Definitely. As he's thinking about his own life and, death being inevitable.
Especially with his parents getting older. That fear of loss is so strong in his writing.
You can really feel it.
He talks about wanting to spend more time with his loved ones, but then there's that pull of his own life.
His ambition.
Right, like wanting to be there for family, but also wanting to chase your own dreams. Have you ever felt that kind of tug in both
Oh,
directions?
absolutely. It's a constant struggle, isn't it?
It really is.
Like, how do you find that sweet spot between cherishing your relationships and going after your goals?
That's the million-dollar
I
question.
think it's something we all deal with in different ways. And what I appreciate about this blog post is that the author is so honest about it. He's not pretending to have it all figured out.
He's just laying it all out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so relatable, I think.
Totally. And though on top of all that, there's another layer of loss he talks about.
Ooh.
Yeah, his best friend died in an accident.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like he's suddenly hit with how fragile life is.
Things can change in an instant.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
makes you think about how often we take our time for granted, you know, and how we really need to appreciate the people in our lives while we can.
That's a tough lesson to learn.
It is. And he uses this phrase to describe that feeling of life slipping away. It's like fingers half full of sand.
Oh, wow. That's powerful imagery.
Isn't it? It just perfectly captures how fleeting time is. Like it's always running out, no matter how tightly we try to hold on. Does that resonate with you at all?
Definitely. I think we've all felt that in different ways, like trying to hold on to something, but it just slips through our fingers.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good reminder to really be present and enjoy the little things, you know.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because even with all this fear of loss, the author finds comfort in his faith.
Especially in the idea of an afterlife.
Right. It's not just some abstract concept for him, it's a deeply personal thing that gives him peace.
He even describes like hearing God's voice and seeing his own flaws reflected back at him.
It must have been intense.
It was. But instead of feeling judged, he feels this overwhelming love and grace.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if sometimes our fear of judgment keeps us from connecting with something bigger than ourselves.
You think so?
I do. It's like we get so caught up in our own imperfections that we miss out on experiencing that unconditional love.
That's a really interesting perspective. What do you think about the role of faith in dealing with loss and finding meaning?
Well, I think faith can be incredibly powerful, especially when you're facing the unknown.
Yeah, like it can give you a sense of hope and purpose.
Exactly. And even if you don't follow a specific religion, I think the author's experience shows how important it is to find something that gives you a sense of grounding,
Something to hold on to.
right? Something that helps you make sense of it all.
Absolutely. It's about finding what resonates with you, what helps you navigate those challenges and uncertainties.
And for the author, it seems like that's a mix of faith relationships and his own journey of self-discovery.
It's fascinating how he weaves all those threads together. Mortality, legacy, faith, self-acceptance. It all comes together to create this very human and relatable exploration of these big questions we all face.
And it all stems from this one man, the friend's father, who just embodies a way of being in the world that deeply resonated with the author.
It really does make you think, what about you? What qualities do you admire in the people you look up to? What makes them role models for you?
That's a good question. Let me think about that for a second.
It's like he's having two conversations at the same time, you know?
Oh, how so?
Like one with himself where he's trying to figure all this stuff out.
About life and death?
Yeah, and the other conversation is with God.
I see what you mean. That internal struggle really comes through.
Doesn't it?
It's like we're reading his diary.
And it's especially clear in that poem he includes.
Oh, yeah, the one about his father.
Yeah, it's so raw and vulnerable.
Full of pain.
He talks about his dad being wounded and how unfair it all feels.
Have you ever felt that? Like helpless when someone you love is hurting?
Oh, absolutely. You want to protect them, you know, shield them from the pain.
But you can't always do that.
No, life throws those curveballs. And the author seems to come to terms with that as he's watching his friend's dad in those final moments.
You sense a shift in his writing.
Yeah, like a sense of peace that the suffering is over.
He described seeing peace on the man's face after he passed.
Like death was a release.
A transition to something else.
And it all ties back to his faith and that belief in an afterlife.
Finding comfort in the idea that death isn't the end.
But a new beginning.
Right.
It's interesting, though, because even with that comfort, he still struggles with the loss, you know?
That feeling of life slipping away.
Like fingers half full of sand.
It comes back again.
Yeah, like he's holding those two things at once, the peace and the grief.
I think that's the reality of grief, isn't it? It's messy.
It's not a straight line.
Not at all. It's this jumble of emotions. Mm. And for him, it seems even stronger because he's aware of his own mortality.
Thinking about his own time.
Knowing it's limited.
And he's asking himself how to spend that time, you know.
Wanting to be there for his parents.
But also having his own life to live.
A family to build.
Exactly. That tension between obligation and what you want for yourself. So many people deal with that, don't they?
All the time. It's a real balancing act, figuring out how to make it all work.
And the author doesn't sugarcoat it. He admits to feeling stressed, overwhelmed, even tempted to just isolate himself.
To avoid more pain.
It's refreshing, though, isn't it? That honesty.
Definitely. He's not pretending to have it all figured out.
Or offering easy answers.
Just sharing his experience as it is.
The good, the bad, the messy.
And it reminds us that it's okay to not have the answers. You know,
to feel lost and vulnerable,
especially when dealing with loss. Have you ever felt that pressure to be strong for everyone else?
Oh, yeah. Put on that brave face when you're hurting inside.
I think we all have at some point. It's like that's what's expected.
But hiding your feelings doesn't make them go away.
It just pushes them down.
What I like about the author is that he lets himself feel it all, even the tough stuff.
And that vulnerability leads him back to faith.
He talks about hearing God's voice in the quiet moments.
Seeing his flaws.
But still feeling that love and grace.
Like finding strength in something bigger than himself.
It's like he's surrendering, you know?
Letting go of control.
And finding peace in that.
Instead of giving in to the grief and isolation.
He chooses to focus on the good.
To cherish the people who bring him joy.
Recognizing that love is stronger than fear.
It makes you think, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed how focusing on gratitude can change your whole perspective?
Even when things are tough.
Exactly.
Mm.
It's amazing how powerful that can be.
It's like a conscious choice to see the light even in the dark.
And that's a big takeaway from this blog post, I think.
Choosing to see the good.
It all comes back to how we affect each other, doesn't it?
You mean like the ripple effect?
Yeah, like the author was so moved by his friend's dad.
A man he wasn't even related to.
Shows you that our actions, even small ones, can have a lasting impact.
We never know who we might touch.
It's a beautiful example of how kindness and integrity can spread.
And that we all have the power to make a difference.
To leave the world a little better than we found it.
This deep dive has really made me think my own relationships, how I spend my time, the kind of mark I want to leave.
It's amazing how one person's story can spark those kinds of questions in all of us.
Really makes you think about what matters most.
And there's actually one more piece of this blog post I want to touch on.
Oh.
The author goes into his own self-discovery. You know?
Like looking inward.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Facing his imperfections and finding redemption through his faith. It's a really powerful message that I think we should explore more after a quick break.
This last part, man, this is the part that really stuck with me.
What was it about this section?
The author gets so personal, you know, like really looks at his own flaws.
Yeah, he doesn't shy away from that, does he? Even calls his own heart rotten at one point.
It's like, wow, it made me think about how much we try to hide our imperfections.
From others and maybe even ourselves.
Exactly. Like we want to present this perfect image when deep down we all have stuff we're dealing with.
It's that honesty that I find so compelling. You know, it'd be easy to just gloss over those things.
Especially when he's talking about faith and all that.
Right, but he doesn't. Mm-hmm. He puts it all out there. And what's really interesting is that this self-awareness happens at the same time as he's feeling God's love.
Like the two are connected somehow.
Yeah, like he's seeing his flaws, but instead of feeling guilty, he feels accepted.
Understood.
Exactly. Have you ever felt that? Like recognizing your imperfections, but still feeling loved.
Oh, yeah. I think we all struggle with that. Wanting to be good, to be worthy of love, but knowing we mess up sometimes.
It's that human condition, right?
And what I find powerful about his experience is that it kind of challenges that idea that we have to be perfect to deserve grace.
It's more about being honest with ourselves and trying to be better.
Knowing that we're loved no matter what.
It's a big idea, isn't it? Grace not as something you earn, but something you're given.
And it means even more because he's clearly going through something really difficult.
Isn't it the loss and all the uncertainty that comes with it?
It's like he finds this lifeline.
In the middle of the storm.
And there's this phrase he uses in Afrikaans. Foken don wat weer glow in Janaid.
I don't know, Afrikaans. What's it mean?
I think it translates to something like, fucking then believe in grace.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so raw, so unexpected.
But it feels so real, you know?
So human.
It's like this desperate plea to hold on to hope.
To find something to believe in even when you feel broken.
And I think that's what he does. He finds that belief in grace.
In accepting himself as he is.
Flaws and all.
And it all circles back to his friend's dad.
How so?
The author says the man was already saved through grace.
Implying he wasn't perfect either.
It makes him more human, right?
It's like even the people we admire, the ones we see as role models, they have their own struggles too.
It takes the pressure off a bit, doesn't it?
To not have to be perfect.
To just be ourselves.
And maybe that's what really matters in the end.
Being genuine, connecting with others, making a difference.
At the end of the post, he talks directly to his friend's father.
Thanking him.
Yeah, for being such an amazing example. It's a beautiful way to honor his legacy.
Showing how, even after someone's gone, their influence can live on.
It all goes back to that idea that we're always creating our legacy.
Through what we do, how we treat others.
And it doesn't have to be some big grand thing.
The smallest acts of kindness can have a huge impact.
This whole deep dive has been so powerful.
Inspiring.
It's made me want to live more intentionally.
To be more aware of the impact we have on others.
Even in the face of loss and all the hard stuff, we have the power to make a difference.
To leave things better than we found them.
That's a great way to put it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. It's been a real journey. And as always, we encourage you to keep thinking, keep exploring, and keep striving to make the world a little brighter. See you next time.